No, thanks, Lindy, for being available for an interview. Can I just ask you to introduce yourself first of all?
Thanks, Annie. Lindy Clemson, and I'm Associate Professor in Ageing at the Faculty of Health Sciences at the University of Sydney.
Okay, and if you can just describe what research findings you've been implementing.
I'll talk today specifically about our Stepping On program, which is a community-based falls prevention program that we evaluated in a randomised trial and published in 2004. And it was successful. We proved that it reduced falls by about 30%. And so there's been quite a bit of interest in that since. We know a lot about falls prevention now, but the challenge we have is getting that out there in big enough quantities that we can make a difference in the lives of older people. And that's one kind of program. It's a group-based program where people tend to, the older person themselves takes control, they have homework, they have to integrate the strategies into their daily life, and it's taught over 7 weeks with a 3-month booster follow-up group. So it's quite different than other approaches that are very single mode, perhaps exercise or home safety or other ones that might evaluate the person and then prescribe the kind of thing that they need to do. So it's a particular kind of program that's effective, that's useful for people out there in the community who've had a fall and are cognitively intact.
Okay. So this group program, Stepping On, is from a randomised trial, and that's what you're implementing findings from. Is it in any of our national guidelines in Australia, or are there any guidelines that this relates to?
Yes, it's listed in the Australian national guidelines. It's also listed in the US-UK, which are combined guidelines at the moment. It's listed in a Centers for Disease Control compendium of evidence-based community practice interventions that have been effective. So there's a compendium that the Centers for Disease Control have put out.
And that's on falls prevention guidelines falls prevention.
Yes. Okay. So it is, it's quite nationally known. And which doesn't mean it'll be taken up, but it has been.
Well, that's exactly right. Yes, that's the whole reason for talking about projects like this.
Yeah.
And what practice or behaviours are you aiming to change, and who's the target with the Stepping On program?
Well, clearly we're trying to get older people to put in place safety strategies to protect them from falling, to reduce their falling. I guess when we look at the implementation type of research, the translational research that I've been involved with in a number of different places, so I can talk about that, I think, from a number of contexts, because I think that's kind of interesting to think of it that way. So I guess we're trying to get people to upskill themselves in the program and then be able to...
And who are they?
Well, that's an interesting question. So it depends on where the program has been run. We had a Commonwealth grant and ran... we developed a train the trainer program, and we recruited people in mostly Western Sydney, but some of inner city rural areas of Sydney. And it was people from different cultural backgrounds, people from lower socioeconomic groups, as well as whoever wanted to come on board the project, basically. So these were community organisations, from church organisations to the Indian Tamil group to health services. We had a whole range of both welfare health organisations involved in it. So we offered training to whoever wanted to run it. We had a aged care worker at... in one of the local government areas who was also involved. Mm-hmm. So we ran the training, and we said, if you want to come along and be trained, you can. So we had a whole range of people come along. We ran 2 days of training with a 3-month booster follow-up for these people. Mm. So people who wanted to run the program, as well as stakeholders from the organisation, came along to those training sessions.
So they're not health professionals.
Some were nurses, some were OTs, some were physiotherapists, some were, we had a fitness industry person, we had just volunteers, which was a bit scary for us. So we had a whole range of people. And actually, Mary Loverini has been doing her PhD, and she's done a number of interviews over a period of time to look at not just implementation but sustainability. So the work that's come out of Meryl's work, which will come out soon, has been very interesting as well. So that's kind of one aspect of that. But the first project that we did in that was to look at implementation and see who would take it up and see who wouldn't, and what were some of the factors around that. So that's one project. New South Wales Health decided, because prevention has come on the agenda at a national and state level, which is fantastic. Not often prevention actually becomes the focus of a government. And one part of New South Wales Health were given the task of rolling out several prevention programs. And the person who's running that looked at a number of falls prevention interventions, came and spoke to me and came and spoke to a number of people, and decided they would roll out Stepping On. So they've been rolling that out in a number and evaluating in a number of different parts of the state of New South Wales, and the intent is to keep doing that. So that was funded, so people had to, through the health departments mainly, people would negotiate to be the ones to roll out Stepping On. The training there was not, unfortunately, the way we trained people. It was more an apprenticeship model. Megan Swan, who was involved in the development of the program, has done quite a bit of that. So that was rolled out in the health services, parallel to the falls prevention activities that were going on. So then another in the inner city, there's been, in the St Vincent's Health Centre, they, sometime before this, they decided to roll out Stepping On as their falls prevention community practice. They're very community orientated there, and they liked the idea of a self-management type group program as being something that they could work. They're rolling it out by partnering local organisations. So their health professionals, OTs, physios, have been trained, and they've used an apprenticeship model. They also brought in Megan to do that, and they've trained people. They're also involved in our training project. But they have been rolling it out. So their model is very community-based. They have health professionals, but the partner organisations will provide the venue, recruit people. So it's been a very successful and ongoing. They thought they would bring in an expert to help train people for a short period of time, but they found with staff changes they've wanted that training over some time. So they also were involved in our Train the Trainer program. In the US, the US government has chosen four interventions to investigate further and roll out in the states. One of those is Stepping On. One of those is the Otago exercise program from New Zealand. One is Tai Chi. And the fourth one, I believe, is looking at GPs and what they could do in their practices and coming up with some guidelines for them. The University of Madison in Wisconsin were successful in a CDC grant 3 years ago to investigate adapting Stepping On for the US context. So they've been looking at that. They've developed their Train the Trainer program, and they are about to license people with Stepping On, so they've been evaluating that. We ran a Delphi process to look at the kind of... when you run a randomised trial, you can say, well, yes, it's effective. No, it's not. But then people say, well, what is it about this program? So what we're really talking about here, as you know, is program drift. So when, you know, we can run these as a randomised trial, they're effective, but what do people do? You know, we wrote this manual, and you think, well, there it is, it's all out there, now go and do it. But people change that and adapt it. So what are the key elements of that that are really important? So we've done some work in that. The US mob have also looked at some fidelity tools, so so things that we can look at to self-evaluate ourselves as to if we're running the program properly or whatever. So that's
what sorts of tools do they have there? What can you give us an example?
Well, after I visit this year, I'll be able to.
Okay.
They looked at. I found them rather concrete. Some of them, but things like you might have a feedback sheet. So after week one or week three, as the leader, you would check off whether you're have you used the decision making framework today? Gone over this part? You know, so just questions about it and picking out key things about your leadership style as well as the content or how you're, you know, are you checking up on the people if they've done their homework or, you know, whatever it is. And then other measures, are people attending? Just a whole range of kinds of peer review assessment, you know, so a whole range of strategies. We looked at some of those in our Train the Trainer group too, and, you know, but they're also going to license, so people will have to, if they want to say they're running, stepping on and call it that, they will have to go to training in the future and be licensed and therefore be assessed and go through, use these fidelity tools. So
one of the advantages of your program over others, and I think from my observation, the reason why it's been so popular and taken up is that you have a program that's in a manual format and ready for people to pick up and run with. They obviously do need training too. Whereas a lot of other trials that have been published that have been shown to be, you know, an intervention's effective, there's often nothing you can tangibly pick up and you don't know what to do and how to do it.
Yes, and that we were very keen, you know, you don't know if it's going to be successful, so it's an awful lot of work to write that manual, but it was, you know, the best thing we ever did. And I've done that with any research project I do, I come out of it with some kind of manual to show what we've done.
Yeah.
But that's right, they look at it and we have everything in there of how to run it, you know, from the feedback sheets to, you know, group work skills, the principles of the, you know, the underlying philosophy of the program, everything in, you know, what you need to take to a group. With, you know, good old-fashioned OT groupies that we were. So everything went into that we, you know, we learnt from people along the way, the presenters, the older people themselves, just everything went into that manual. So, yes, that's correct. But there's another element to it, I think, that why people have engaged with it, and that's the fact that it's about personal control. It's about self-management. So I think it's that element of that has other people have embraced as well. We're trying to teach people to continue doing their exercises for life, to think about vitamin D or think about, you know, safety hazards, and for them to decide what it is their risk factors are and for what them to do. So it's that, I think it's that self-management, because I think with certainly in the United States they're talking a lot about that, but, you know, we've only got so many health professionals and so many people out there fall and there's so many issues. So maybe we have to think of things that have a self-management ongoing aspect to them. So I think that's part of it as well, as to why. But of course there are people that don't think that's the way to invest money, and that there's, you know, cost effectiveness studies that, you know, that have shown exercise to be cost saving and that home safety audits are cost saving. But then we haven't done a cost effectiveness study of this either. So, you know, there are always, when people look at best investment and organisations, my view is we need a variety of things. And one of the outcomes that seems to come to this is that people get very skilled up when they run this, and they say, oh, it changed my practice when I see people individually with falls. So, you know, your ability to work with people who've had a fall and ask the right questions, get them to think about it and reflect on it and change their behaviours, is the kind of underpinning thing. So it can be quite different for different disciplines to sort of take this on board as well. So that's kind of interesting as well.
Okay, we might move on to another question.